It's on. It's on now. Ah, gracias. It's an honor to be preaching this morning. I have to tell you something. I was getting a little bit frustrated because I really like to share the gospel. I like to preach and I like to talk a lot. I was getting a little bit frustrated, and then God gave me a word. He said, I give you a blessing, and you have to take care of your blessing. Sometimes we forget that we have a blessing, and sometimes it is time to be a little bit off, a little bit, you know, just having your time and spending your time well spent in the things that God has given you. It is important to really take care of what God has given you. I want to share this morning. First, I want to say something that thank you for praying this morning. As I received, Pastor Steve asked me if I wanted to preach this morning. And I say, yeah, no problem. And I pray about it. Because I don't like to come to church or anywhere and just be saying words from myself. I do believe that God knows the heart, and he knows situations, and he's the only one that can give you a word. Not me, but God is the only one. So I pray about it, and I say, okay, God, just give me a word. And I love praying, so I know he will give me a word, you know, about prayers, about, you know, worshiping. And then he said to my ear, he said, within a year, you will hold a promise. And when he said that, I knew he was talking about the Shunammite woman. How many of you have read about the Shunammite woman? It's Old Testament. I love to preach from the New Testament, but this time he just said to read the story about her. And it's just the faith that she had. The faith that she had, it was an amazing faith. She knew the God she served. And I want, let's just go to 2 Kings 4. Second Kings 4:8-37. Beforehand, I'm sorry if I, you know, misspell a word. I will try my best. I want to read the whole story, and then I'm going to give you what God gave me through prayer. Is everyone there? 2 Kings 4:8. The Bible talks about the Shunammite woman as a great woman. So, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in tither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on a wall. Let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he come to us, that he shall turn in tighter. And it fell on a day that he came tighter, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what is it then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she have no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, the man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, a servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of a man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Let's just go straight to the 26th. She went on to look for Elisha. 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, it is well with thee? Elisha asking the servant to ask this. It is well with her husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord had hidden from me and have not told me. Let's just jump now to the verse 33. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain. And pray unto the Lord, and he went up and lay upon the child. And he put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eye upon his eye, and his hand upon his hand. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child was warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when he was in unto him, and when she was come unto him, he said, take up thy son. I just want to share a little bit of the history of the Shunammite woman. She was a great woman, says the Bible, a woman of faith, a woman that took her dead situation to the only one that could do something for her. I'm going to focus myself on the Shunammite woman this morning. No Elisha, no Gehazi, because there's many preachings that you can take from just this story. You can preach maybe 2-3 years just in this story, because it's many rich, it's a rich story there. She was a great woman, well-respected, wealthy, notable, remarkable, exceptionally good. She was hospitable, kind, generous. You know, she was from the tribe of Issachar. And she was a worshiper. Shunem mean a resting place, to resting place. So, as she was a worshiper, as she was, listening to the word of God for many years, and she have heard stories of what God did, you know, with his people, and, you know, people come to life and fire, and, you know, how he moved Abraham, he did with Moses, and she had heard all these stories through her life because she was a worshiper. So that was within her. She had faith because she had heard so much about God. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So she was a great woman. That's what the Bible talks about her. She was a great woman. She noticed, she perceived, the Bible says, she perceived that Elisha was a man of God. She perceived that. When we are able to perceive, is because we have been having a relationship with God. When we have a relationship with God, to the one that is able to do exceedingly and more than you can think or imagine, you are able to perceive, to discern in the spirit. And she was able to perceive that he was a holy man. So she talks about unity, because she talks to her husband, said, let's just make this room for him. You know, she was a wealthy woman, so she was even tithing because she was giving her money to make this room, to make food for the servant of God. Every time he passes by, she will, you know, pull him in to have some food, to have some bread. So she will cook for him. She will make breakfast, lunch, or dinner. She will make this bed, prepare everything for him to have a place to stay, to read the Bible, to study, you know, to lay while he was getting to his city. It was between around 20 miles from Chunen to Mount Carmel where he lived. So imagine, it's a long ride, you know. Nowadays we use cars, and that day they use donkeys. So then she have, you know, a word from God saying that she will bear a son. So a word that came through the prophet Elisha, right? But the word was given to her by God. A prophet is the one who talks what God says. So it was a word from God, so rhema word, no logos word. It was a rhema word. And she believed the rhema word of God. She believed that he was able to do for her what she thought it may not be, because her husband was old. At that time, in that culture, like maybe 20 years more than her, that was normal. That's what they do. So she got married to this man, older than her, at least 20 years, but she's barren. In the culture, in that culture, it was so harsh for the ladies to be, you know, barren, that she knew then, don't deceive me, to the prophet. Don't deceive me. Don't lie to me. Because let it be God backing up this word. Let it be God. Not you, but God through you is speaking this into my life. Because if it is a miracle, I want the miracle to be from God. Not from anyone else, but from God. If God gives you the miracle, you are able to hold the miracle because he will help you. He will strengthen you. He will, you know, teach you. He will, you know, provide everything for that miracle. And then, it came the time, as Elisha said to her, that she bare a son. Imagine going through the pregnancy, you know, the belly, the changes, you know, you're getting all this way. And then you have all this way, and then the baby. And then, you know, through the pregnancy, maybe the man doesn't know this, but it's horrible. I mean, you have all these pains, all this discomfort, and you're crying all the time, but at the same time you're so happy because you're thinking on that baby. And then, you know, you're planning on your head how it's going to be, how am I going to name this baby, you know, how things are going to be. You're making room in your house for the baby. We have to make room in our house for the word of God. We have to make room for us to pray, to have a closet in our bedroom, in our house, whatever. We have to put that closet in and go in and close the door and just pray to God, pray to him, just read the Bible, just have a close relationship with him. Because when you have a close relationship with him, you are able to perceive what he's telling you. You are able to perceive what he wants you to know, what the future is about you. Because just having the child, it wasn't just about having a child. It was about having a future and a hope, because they didn't have any child. You know, a child takes the name of the family forward. He is a heir. You know, he takes all the money from his parents, you know, to continue, you know, a name, a legacy. He was, you know, someone that was giving her a future and a hope that he can believe, that he can trust, that she can trust, that she can have faith in the only one that is able to do a miracle for her. And then she carries this son for 9 months. I think it was 9 months, for some it's 7, 8. But she carried this baby for 9 months in her womb. You know, sometimes we have to carry the miracle for some time. It may take a year, it may take 2 years, it may take 3 years, but you have to carry your miracle. Doesn't matter how long it takes, God will deliver that miracle to you, into your hands. So she was pregnant with a miracle, and she was worshiping through that pregnancy. And she was having faith, and she was, you know, praising God, and she was a worshiper. You know, this tribe was known to be worshipers. So she was worshiping God every morning. I imagine her and her husband praising God because they had the miracle in the womb. Suddenly, you know, she gave birth to the baby. All the, you know, the emotions that come with it. And they making the room for the baby. And, you know, it was an old man. So it was a miracle. It was like Abraham and Sarah. You know, like on the old age, so he was the baby on the old age. They were so excited. You know, people around her know the situation because she was a wealthy woman. Everyone knew her. She was a wealthy woman. She had company. She had a house, land. She had property. She was a wealthy woman. So she's having this baby, and then she devoted herself to the baby. You know, all her time, all her effort was on the baby. And then the baby grew, and the Bible said that when he grew, he went out with his father to the reapers, you know, to the land, to do some job. The Bible doesn't say how was the child, but one of the things that, you know, theologians said that it may be between 5 and 12 because he was able to feed in her lap. And then, you know, he was outside. My head. Something happened with the child. What men do? Run to your mother. Go. So he grabbed a servant. Run, take the baby, you know, take the child to his mother because mothers know what to do. You know, and God is just amazing. I know fathers are good too. I have a really good husband. He is a good father. She's already asleep. So he said, run, you know, take the child to the mom, take it. So he ran, and imagine him, you know, the commotion, he's not feeling well, you know, he's rushing the baby. I mean, the only child, the miracle. So he rushed the baby, he sat the baby on her lap. I don't know what she was doing because it was noon, it was morning, and she may be cooking or cleaning, doing something. She left everything. Sometimes we have to leave everything when God give you a word. When he said to you, pray for someone, go here, go there, knock at that door, talk to this person, you know, do this for me. We have to stop for a minute and leave everything because he's telling you to do something. We have to be wise. We have to perceive. We have to have that relationship with God. So she left everything, and then she grabbed the baby on her knee, and then she was stroking the baby. And I imagine at this point, you know, then, because I was asking God, where do you want me to go with this story? You know, it's nice, and I know it happened, but sometimes you don't know what God is, you know, want you to say or what's going on. And he said, talk about the moment when she had the child on her lap, and then he died. You know, imagine you sitting there having the baby on your arms, you know, stroking the baby's head maybe, you know, you're trying to warm your child. I mean, all of us, those who are mothers, grandmothers, know, you know, when the baby is sick, it's horrible. I mean, you can do nothing. You have to, everything, all your focus go to the baby because something's going on. It was a child already. So she had there, and I think she saw her child deteriorated before her eyes. So as she was, you know, stroking him, his head maybe, you know, talking to him, she was a worshiper, and no, she may be singing or, you know, like, praising God through the situation, asking God, you know, to help the child. She knew it was a miracle. So, and this is going on with her. Maybe she started to remember all that she heard before about God, about who he is, about about all the miracles. She must be hearing all this, you know, in her head. And suddenly the baby died. He just died in her arms. Imagine a mother after having, you know, a baby and a miracle in her hands. She has everything within her. And then suddenly the dream, the hope, the future just vanished before her eyes. Just vanished. Nothing there is dead. The miracle is dead. What should I do? And then I don't know, as a mom, you know, so, you know, as a mom, you just scream, you just cry, you just, I mean, you just call someone, you know, right away. This is happening, you know, let's go to the hospital, you know, it's an emergency. But she holds it together. She holds it together. She held all her emotions, and suddenly she put the baby on the bed, the child on the bed. She closed the door and ran to the man of God. She closed the door, and she ran to the man of God. At that time, it's not like now that they put so many things on the body, and it takes, you know, so long and doesn't smell. No, I mean, on those days, they have to prepare the body right away. And it's just amazing. She didn't bury the baby, the child. She just, you know, laid it on the bed. And God wants you to know today that the miracle, the promise that he gave you, he will deliver that promise. Don't bury the miracle. Don't bury the promise. He will deliver it to you, and he will resurrect the miracle for you. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Sometimes things happen, and, you know, they are not what we expected. But even in that situation, God will turn things around for you. Doesn't matter what the outcome is, because sometimes we're expecting, yeah, it will be this. It may not be that. But it will be well. It shall be well. She confessed that twice. It was the Rhema word, not the Logos word. It was a word from God to her life. It wasn't the Logos. It was the Rhema word. So she had that word within her heart. And then the child is dead. And then she remembered, God gave me the word. God doesn't lie. He's faithful. He's able to do exceedingly and beyond I can think or imagine. You know, she has faith. And I want to read something about faith. It's my favorite verse. Hebrews 11. And 11:6, and it's few of them that I like, but I just want to read that one. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, the faith is the substance of things hoped for. She was hoping for the child to go back to life because she knew who her God was. She knew that. The evidence of things not seen. You know, when someone dies, right away the pressure of the body drops, the temperature, it becomes cold, and then, you know, it's dead. But then she sees the baby dying, and then the baby is dead in the bed. Suddenly, what she does, call for a donkey, and then she goes to the man of God. 20 miles. She wasn't in a car. She was in a donkey. 20 miles. Imagine those 20 miles. Then God said, imagine those 20 miles. It must be horrible as a mom. Those 20 miles, not knowing what to do, you know, what to think. God gave me the miracle. Now the miracle is dead. What's going on? We have all faced dead situations. We all have faith, dead situations. Divorce. Loss of a child, miscarriage, sickness, cancer, you know, so many situations, you know, that a family member that doesn't believe in God, and sometimes you see is dead. You know, it's not a way to go into that person and preach the gospel. But you know, she had faith, and her faith was based on the Rhema word. Her faith was based on all the miracles she had heard about God and who he was. Of course, this is Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have Jesus Christ. He went to the cross and rose again for us to give us eternal life. And then by the time she reached him, she already thought all this, you know? And she's been holding it together. She got to the man of God, and she cried out to God. Then he come to the house, and he did something, you know? He went on top of the child, eye to eye, mouth to mouth. You know, he breathed on the child. As we come close to God, he will breathe on your situation. He will speak life into your situation. He will move you from one side to the other side. He will move mountains for you. He will open doors for you. Doesn't matter what the situation it is, but he will move you. He will bless you. He is Abba Father. He's Adonai, the Lord God. He's Yahweh. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Roy, God who sees me. He's Elohim, God the Creator. He's Yahweh Jireh, God the Provider. He's Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. Elohim, the eternal God, never change, everlasting God. He never ends. Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Christos, the anointed one. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows from the beginning to the end of your day. He knows even the hairs of your head. He knows who you are. He created you. He dreamed about you. He had a dream one day, and he said, I want to dream about Micah, and I want to put these color eyes on her and this hair, and I want to make her thing, and I want to do this for her. And then he went on and said, and I'm going to make a sea for her, and he's going to be like this because she will marry him. And then he made Hannah and Mark, and he said, okay, let's just make them this way. Mark, God wants you to preach the gospel. Don't shut your mouth. You have to preach the gospel of God. He called you to be a preacher. He called you to teach and to preach and to be a pastor to others. You have to stand. You have to study the Bible more. You have to pray more. You have to go more in your knees because he is with you. And he has called you for greatness. Not to stay on a seat, but he called you for greatness. And then, and he is all this. He's an amazing God. He's your Savior, your Creator. She had a dream about you, and then he made you. He created you. He put you in your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundation of the world. And then she sees her dead son. What happened? She knew that he is able to bring him to life. She knew it may not be the outcome. Maybe he will give me another child. But whatever it was, it should be well. It shall be well. It will be well. Because it is God. It is God, and it's for his glory. Everything that happened in your life is because of his glory. It's because of him. He asked me one day. I was just thinking, about time. I don't know how long. I was thinking about time. Sometimes you preach and you get so excited, and then you don't want to leave preaching, and you want to continue, and then let's read something else. And then I said, Father God, but sometimes people don't want to be listening for too long. And then he said, why people want to go to heaven? Why people want to go to heaven? And I said, me? Because I love you. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you. And he said, in heaven, if we think about hours, because in heaven is no time. But if we think about hours, you will be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, worshiping, praying, just thinking about him, knowing that he's God, that he's there for you. Just amazing place. So I'm just saying this.
to ask for 5 more minutes. But God is amazing. So she knew whatever the outcome, you know, it will be well. It shall be well. It is well. She was already prophesying over her child. It is time for you to grow, to raise, that's the word, to, you know, and pray and believe that your child is saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen. This is the time for you to believe for those that doesn't know God yet. This is the time for you to believe that that sickness is gone in the name of Jesus, because he's the healer. This is the time for you to pray and to worship and tell him how good he is, how awesome is him. You know, before we think, he knows what we're going to think. Before we speak, he knows what we're going to speak. Before we even feel something, he knows what we're feeling. He is our God. He is our God. Just, I want to encourage everyone this morning. You know, at the end, she went on. He prayed for the child, stretched upon the child. He breathed, you know, upon the child. He did this, you know, like, I believe God told him to do that. You know, in that situation. Sometimes we all have to go on our knees on the floor, Father God. And crying out to the Lord for our miracle. Just cry out to the Lord. What is his son's name? Pete. His son's name. Pete. Pete. Your son, Zach. God is telling me that he will proclaim the gospel. He will stand for Jesus. He will be a banner. I see him with a flag, waving a flag, and proclaiming the word of God wherever he goes. He's being a blessing to you and to the family. He is the child. He is the promise given to you and your wife. God is just an amazing God. He's able to do more than we can think or imagine. And then, you know, the child start, you know, his body was warm. You know, he was warm. He started to be warm. But you know, right then, what the prophet do? He ran down, walk in the house. And he was walking. He was thinking, God, what should I do? What else? Tell me. You know, he was praying. He was known of a man of prayer. He took over from Elijah. Did I say it right? Yeah, Elijah. So he took it from him. You know, Elijah did so many miracles. I think this lady heard about, you know, one of the widows having a son raised by Elijah, by the word of God, because it was God moving him to do that. So I believe that she had heard all these testimonies. It's just beautiful. Share your testimony with your people, you know, with your siblings, with your son's daughter, with your mom, dad, you know, with neighbors. Share your testimony. Your testimony will impact people's lives. Because at that time, she was thinking about the testimony of the widow lady. She was thinking about that. Oh, I know. But one of the times that Elisha passed by the house, he shared this testimony. I know God will do something. And then, you know, as Elisha was walking up and down, praying, God, what should I do? He went up again, and he did the same thing. He stretched upon the child. And then he called the Shunammite lady, and then she come up. And then, you know what she did? When she come up, and then she saw the son, she didn't run to the son. She didn't. Me will be like, oh, my baby, he's alive. No, she didn't. She went on, Father God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I worship you this morning because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. I believe in who you are. You believe, Father God, we believe, oh Lord Jesus, in you because you are the only one. You are everything. You are the healer. You raised my son from the dead. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. That's what she did. She just did that, and she proclaimed the gospel right there. And she praised him, and she worshiped God. And she said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's what we have to say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, and we worship you. You're an amazing God. Oh, thank you, Jesus Christ, because you give me salvation and eternal life. I'm healed today because of you. I'm standing today because of you. And then she grabbed her child. And then she grabbed her child. We have to be thankful before God. We have to know that when we are thankful, we receive the promise. But the promise comes with provision. He will strengthen you. He will teach you through the way, through the process to raise that child. And whatever situation is, a job, a house, someone is praying for a house, God will give it to you. A job, a new job, a new perspective, a new goal in your life, whatever it is. Whatever it is, just leave it before him, before the throne of grace. Just leave it before the throne of grace, and he will give you the miracle. He will give you the miracle. You have to believe that he will give you the miracle. He will give provision in Chile. For the people in Chile, he will provide. Abundant provision comes in the way of those who seek God, of those who seek him, because the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then it will be added to them, because they have seek, they will receive an abundance of provision, money coming the way. Thank you, Father God. We worship you, Lord, this morning. We worship you, Lord. I want to share a testimony. Do I have time? Yeah. I promised husband I wouldn't go too long. But the baby is asleep. So that's God working behind the scene. I want to share one first. If I have time, I will share the other one. I grew up in a home, Christian home. First, when I born, my parents weren't Christian. The Christian was my grandma, my dad's mom. She was the Christian one. She was an evangelist in her city. She evangelized everyone in the city. Everyone knew her. I mean, everyone. If I say, I'm, grandchild, they would, I know who you're talking about. You know, everyone. But my dad, he wasn't a Christian, really. And my mom, she didn't believe in anything, even though her mom was a Catholic lady, really Catholic one. Those white bone, they say in my country, to the core. She was. But, something happened to me. I became so ill and I stopped breathing. I was 1 year and a half old. I'm not saying God put the sickness upon me, but he used that situation to bring my mom onto his arms. And then my grandma, of course, as evangelist, she took the situation to her hands. And she went home to the hospital, and she said, the only one can do something, it is God, it is Jesus Christ. And then my mom said, okay, I want that. Because no one can do nothing for my child, but I want anything. And she received then Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. But I share this because I grew, and then a lot of situations happened to me through that, going back and forth from the hospital to the house, having all this situation. But then at one point, I was 16, and I saw, nowadays, not every church, is from God. Some they are quite. So I saw many things in church that I didn't like. So I thought, maybe it's just a lie. And I went out from church. Out. O sea, I didn't do anything bad, but I mean, I just went out from the Lord. I didn't want to hear about the gospel. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to worship. I didn't want to know nothing. I mean, don't talk to me about church. I thought it was all a lie. Don't talk to me about church. That's not for me. For me? That's not for me. That's nothing that I want to go back to, you know? And I wasn't doing anything bad. I was a good, you know, good child, I think. Maybe we can call my mom. But, you know, so I was there 3 years out of church. Since the first day I stopped going to church, my mom doubled her prayers. She doubled her prayers. And she said, I won't let her go because I give her to you when she was a child. I presented her before you. She's yours. She's yours. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and then she doubled the prayers. And then, you know, nothing was brighter and brighter. No, everything was darker and darker and darker. I mean, she saw me, and she thought, no, she's not coming back. And I wasn't, at that point, going back. And then she prayed, and then she would call me. But one of the things that she did, you know, always call me. Always call me and preach to me on the phone. I wasn't in the church, but she was preaching to me all the time on the phone. And I was like, okay, mom. Hang out the phone. Half an hour later, she will call me again. Ask my husband. She called like 20 times a day. Like she will call. And she will preach the gospel through the phone. And she will pray. And she will pray. Suddenly, after 3 years, I was in my bed, sleeping, you know, in my apartment. I wasn't living with her. I was sleeping. And I hear a voice. The devil wants to kill you. I mean, you hear those words. And I saw demons on the ceiling. The demons, you know, like a circle of demons going on the ceiling. I went out of that bedroom and I said, Father God, forgive me. I'm coming back to you now. Father God, forgive me. Father God, you are my Lord, my Savior. I came back to Christ. I came back to Christ because I knew if I stay in the world, he will kill me. And my destiny, the will of God over my life will be killed. And he brought me back to him. You know, my mother that night, she was praying for me at 3:00 in the morning. I don't know what she was praying about, but she was praying in fire. And she was telling God she had to come back home. And she wasn't meaning her house. She was meaning home with God, with Jesus. And because of that prayers, because of those 3 years of a lady on her knees without stopping, having the faith, knowing that God will bring me back, I'm here today. And after those years, and after all those years, I go, Mom, I'm going to preach. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because the miracle is alive. I'm well alive. Thank you, Father. When we pray and we receive the word of God, the Rhema word, he will back you up. His word never go void. He doesn't lie. He's faithful. And I don't have time for the other testimony, really. But I want you to encourage today to pray for your children, to pray for your job, your neighbors, your family members, to pray for the country. You know, one day, I want to say this quickly. One day I got to Manchester not too long ago. I give, I think, a testimony about it. The week after, I went to Manchester. And I got to Manchester, and as we got in the train, get off the train, walking, I just felt a cry within me. And I said, God, what's going on? And I started to cry. And it was a happy day. We were celebrating my husband's birthday. And I was crying. And I said, I don't know what's going on. Why am I feeling to cry? Father God, what's going on? And he showed me that the city, you know, we need to pray for Manchester. It's in pain because so many things happening. On Monday, I went on to see the news. So many stabbings that weekend. Just on that weekend. So many stabbings. And I thought, Father God, That's why you put me to pray for Manchester when we get off the train. We have to be praying for our city if we want change. We have to pray for our church. We have to put our schedule onto God's schedule. It's not your schedule, it's His schedule. Just give it to Him. You know, sometimes He manages schedules better than us. I think He all the time do it better than us. Just give it all to Him. I want to encourage everyone this morning to pray, to worship, to double the guard. Keep praying. When God give you a miracle, He will deliver the miracle. He will grow the miracle. He will back you up with the miracle. He will walk with the miracle. He will take you with the miracle. He will go through the door with the miracle. He will go through the desert, through the valley. He will do everything because He give you the word. Cholo, believe this morning. Thank you so much for having me. We're here. If anyone want prayer of anything, we can pray for the job, for the child. We can pray for anything. We have Pastor Micah. We have Reverend Wendy. Let's see. We have Stuart Agnes here. We can pray. Is Pat over there? Pat can pray too. God wants you to pray, Pat, for people. A lot of people will be healed through your hands because He will use your hands. He will use them. You know, He is showing me like, when you put water to boil, you know, like vapor, how do you call it? Like steam. I see like steam going from your hand to people. Like He will pour into people's life. Should we pray? You know, He gave me a son this morning because the Shunammite woman, she said twice, "It shall be well, it will be well." He said, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well." Thank you, Father God. We worship you this morning, Lord Jesus. And we give you this time, Father God, before you, Father God. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for all the things that you have done in our life, in every family in this church, Father God. Father God, we intercede right now for every family in this church, Father God, in this community. And we pray, Father God, that the word of God, the gospel of the Most High God, will be spread in Wigan, in Manchester, in UK, Lord Jesus, to every house, to every family, Lord Jesus. Father God, we pray for the will of God over this country, Father God, with the Brexit, Lord Jesus. It will be your will, Father God. Not people's will, but your will in this country, Father God. Doesn't matter what they're doing. We pray for your will in this country, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you and we praise you this morning, Father God. We give you all the glory and the honor that is due to your name, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.